Global School Supernatural Ministry, and we have Ben and Catherine and Judah, and Judah has a message for you that he's prepared, and as a classmate, I've watched him grow over these last year and a half, and he's a great guy. So, Judah.
I just want to thank you for having me. It's such an honor to be here. And it's just been such a peaceful time. I believe that God is continuing to increase the peace in this room. We were just experiencing that during worship. And I just feel like there's a new pouring. And I was hearing that there's a community that's building up. I know you guys have community already, but I believe it's even going to be more tight-knit. He's going to continue to develop relationships even more in this church. So I want to start us off with prayer. So Father God, I just thank you for what you've already been doing, what you've already been sealing on our hearts, God, and you've been continually confirming things, Jesus. I just thank you, Lord. I thank you that you have paid the price, the ultimate price, so we can be free. We can be free and walk in the fullness that you have called us to, God. That there's no lack in you. God, I just thank you in Jesus' name. So I just want to thank Pastor Mike and Tiffany. It's been such an honor. It's a true privilege, and it's truly great to be in this church. I am originally from Syracuse, New York. My name is Judah Tuttle. I am a Global Awakening student. I'm part of the team, and it's just been a pleasure. Today I'm going to be talking about sonship, and this is a topic that's near and dear to my heart. Because it's something that it's a process. It's something we've never fully arrived at. It's a process in developing our relationship with God, Father God. So, how many of you may have seen the movie Lion King? So, do you remember the scene just as where Simba had run off to the land, to the far land, after his father had died? Do you guys remember that? How he forfeited his right to be king for a period of time and forgot who he was. I believe that happens with us oftentimes. How many of us forget who we are sometimes? But not just who we are in Christ. Simba was the rightful heir to the throne. Simba was the king, but he forfeited it. And by doing this, I believe it's easier to forget who we are than we think. It can be by many different things, but I believe oftentimes it's by a thought that we have and we operate in it, and then the thought becomes our identity. So this is why, just as your pastor was saying in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed by the ways of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we need to transform our minds so we can think the way he thinks and operate out of the way he's calling us to operate. We cannot afford to have a thought in our head that does not translate into how he thinks of us. Our thoughts need to be parallel to how he thinks of us and his heart towards us. Because if it's not that, then it's a lie. We are co-heirs with Christ. We are kings, we are queens, and we are his beloved. Now, I talked about the word sonship. This word simply means a relationship with the Father, solely derived on who he is. It's not something that can be earned. It's freely given, and it's based on truly on who the Father is. Everything that was available to Jesus is available to us as sons and daughters. And it talks about this in Romans 8, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We cannot have access to what God has for us if we do not know who we are or our identity. Sometimes we can let our relationship with God be influenced by our perception of him. You see, because if I view him as an angry God, then I'm not going to bring things that are near and dear to my heart. So, and we were created for love. When we don't have love, when we don't have the Father's love, God's love, we look for it in other places. See if I view him as a loving God, I'm going to share the things that are near and dear to my heart. I'm going to bring things that I wouldn't bring to anyone else. And that's truly what he wants with each and every one of you in this room. He wants a genuine relationship with you. And the cool thing is that we've never fully arrived. There's always more. There's always more. What is God not? He's not an angry God. He's jealous for your heart. But it's hard to have intimacy with someone you may think is angry with him, with you. You know, oftentimes, this is a quote by Jack Frost, who's an amazing man on sonship. But he says, oftentimes we, when we fail, we tend to feel like we should be punished by God. But in reality, he is running towards us with arms wide open, ready to embrace us into his presence. I want to ask you something. How do you view God? Think about it for a second. How you view God is how your relationship with him is shaped. Because our relationship, our thought process shapes how we view our world, how we operate, and how we live. So if I view him in a lesser way, I'm putting him into a box. See, he is a loving God. He loves you right where you're at. He's not looking down on you, angry, waiting for you to mess up. He loves you. And it's not something that you did that he loves you. It's because of what he did. So many of you may be familiar with the story of the prodigal son. I'm going to summarize it if you have not heard the story. So it's found in Luke 15, 11 through 32. In this story, it starts with a parable of the two sons, of a father with two sons. Now the father had two sons, and the younger son came to the father one day and said, "Father, I want half my inheritance." So it was basically saying, "You might as well be dead to me," to the dad. And so the father, being a good father that he was, gave his son his inheritance, sold half his land and gave him half the money that was his. And the younger son took the inheritance and brought it out to a far land and spent all the money on wild living. And as he did this, he ran out of money. He didn't have any money, and there was a famine going on at this time. And he became so desperate that he decided to work to feed pigs in a pig pen. And as he was feeding these pigs, even the pig's food looked appetizing to him. Have you guys ever been at that low where things you are giving to animals looks appetizing? So he was in a low place. And then he came to a realization that even my father's servants have food to spare. So he thought, "I'm going to go back to my father's house and become a servant in his house." And since he decided to do this, he made the journey back to his father's house. And when he made this journey, his father saw him from afar and ran to him, embraced him, kissed him, and gave him his best robe and his signet ring. And the father commanded the servants to put on a feast of the fattened calf and put a party on because his son that was once dead is now alive. What kind of picture is that? This is an amazing picture. Now the older brother was in the fields, and he was, what he would say is, slaving for his father. He was in the fields working, and he heard some commotion, so he made it back to the house and saw that there was a party going on because his brother that had dishonored his father had come back, and his father gave him half the inheritance and was partying because he came back. And this made the older brother very angry. The older brother was so angry that he darted off. And the father went to him And he said, and the older brother said to him, I've been slaving in the fields all these years, and you haven't even given me a fattened calf for me and my friends to celebrate. And the father said, you have always been with me. Everything that I have is yours. And today on this story, I want to focus on the older brother. You see, we can be in the Father's house, but not understand our place in the family. We can be in the Father's house and not understand our authority as sons and daughters. And I believe this relates to us. This analogy relates to us because we can be in the Father's house and be unchanged by his love. You see, the older brother felt that he had to earn his position in the family. But what he didn't realize was his position in the family was given to him no matter what he accomplished in life. And that is the same thing we have as Christians. It is freely given what Jesus paid for on the cross. It's something we just have to walk in and accept. It's a free gift, freely given. When we have these types of mindsets, questioning if we belong or if we have the authority that we have, we tend to operate as an orphan, and our mindset is out of an orphan mindset. And in that orphan mindset, this limits us because we see things in things I can't have or things I don't deserve. But Jesus has made us worthy for it all. What are some tendencies we see in someone who is not operating out of a son or a daughter in Christ? You see, sonship is not gender-based. It's not gender-based. It's male and female. And some tendencies we see out of an orphan mindset are insecurity, jealousy, competition. When someone else succeeds, we want to succeed. We're jealous when they succeed. Pride. Seeking to earn love. Struggle with rejection. And we even have a hard time receiving love. And we have a hard time trusting others. But as sons and daughters, we need to operate out of the realm that God has made available to us. So I believe that God is going to, today, is bring you into a new level of relationship with him. You're going to experience a new level of love with him that you have not before. So some tendencies of a daughter or son in the kingdom are you are secure in who you are. There's no competition. When one of my family members succeeds, or someone in the kingdom succeeds, I celebrate. Because Leif Hetland says it's a family business. So when their stock goes up, my stock goes up. Nothing is earned in the kingdom. It is all freely given. Love is freely given. God's calling is given to you. It's not something you can earn. You can't be self-righteous to earn his calling to you. It's freely given. You need to step into it. And in this, one thing I want to challenge you today is that we cannot stay where we're at. We need to continue to pursue God with all our heart and not be complacent with where you're at. Where you're at today is not where you should be tomorrow. And allow those that go before you their ceiling to be your floor. So as we partner together in the kingdom, it's a community. So as we partner, it works as a unit. And as it works in a unit, we begin to walk in more of our authority. We begin to see change. And I believe now that God is going to, in this community that you guys are surrounded by, bring unity like never before. When you walk in the kingdom of sonship, when you walk in your authority of sonship, you're free of fear. Fear has no grip over you. Fear does not hold you hostage. You're free from it. There is unlimited grace. God is such a gracious God. But this doesn't give us the ability to sin freely without when he sinned, his grace is good enough to have us come back in, but he's calling us further. He loves you because he loves you because he loves you. It's not something you've done. It's because of who he is. As kings and queens and sons in the kingdom, we find our place in the kingdom. We become confident in our identity. We learn what it looks like to be dependent on God and co-laboring in what we do and everything we do. Because we are called to co-labor with him. It's a process. He pulls us further and we walk. He calls us to walk and walk and walk more with him. And one true attribute of a son or daughter in the kingdom is they empower others to walk in their identity in Christ. So not only do I walk in my identity with Christ, but I empower others. I bring them along. I pull them further in this race. How can we continually step into the more that God has for us? These are just some key steps that can increase our level in intimacy with him and continue to push us further. They're not the only ways to get it, but God is trying to pull you further. We need to be people of his word. People that know his word, people that read his word, but not only reading it, but meditating on it, allowing it to be in your mind daily, day and night. Spending more time in his presence, like what we were having earlier today in worship, just continuing to rest in his presence. It's not about having a perfect service. It's about his presence. That's what we're after. We need to be people of his presence. And where his presence goes, where we go, that his presence goes with us. It's not bound to where in this church. It's not bound to the four walls of this church. It's made to go out. So we need to be people that bring the presence out. Bring it into your workplaces, into the places where you have family, because his presence changes things. I'm a firm believer that you can't be in his presence and remain unchanged. There's always something that changes when you're in his presence. And one thing we need to make sure we're doing is continually learning how to hear his voice. We all hear his voice uniquely, and learning how you hear it for yourself. Because we are all called to hear his voice. We are all called to hear his voice. It's not just for pastors. It's just not for leaders. It's for all of us. And not only hearing his voice, but we need to believe what he says about us. We need to believe. Believe it in our heart. You see, when I believe something in my heart, I not only become that truth that I believe, I operate it, I live it. And it changes my whole life. So if I believe he's a loving God and he cares for each and everything about me, I'm going to operate in that. I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to see things in love. My lens is going to be in love. Pursue what God is calling you to and push others to pursue the calling they have on their lives. Be kingdom people. Be people that push people further, even at your own expense. Jesus paid it all for us. So now we need to be forerunners for what he's calling us to. Maybe you're here today and you've not experienced God's love, or you don't feel like you've experienced all he has for you. Or maybe don't even know him. I believe that God is encouraging you to come up after the service. We're going to have a prayer team up here that's going to be able to pour God's love into you. And I believe that God's going to call you into a new level of sonship, or even give you salvation if you do not have that today. I want you to know that sons and daughters in Christ, you were destined for love. The world is looking for love and satisfaction in all the wrong places. They need to be looking for love from God. That's the only thing that can sustain us. Without it, there's a void in our heart that needs to be filled. Today, I want to call you into a new level of sonship. A sonship that is always going after the more. A sonship that is not content with where you're at. So I want to put a declaration up on the screen. If you could do that. Thank you so much. Tech team, I appreciate you. So if you would repeat, can you please stand and repeat after me and read this with me? And declare this. Don't even just read this just to say it, but really read it as a prayer and declaration to God. Oh, can you not see it? Okay. All right, repeat after me. I believe that Jesus was full of love. Full of the Holy Spirit. Completely dependent on you, God. Father, reveal to me areas that I have been operating as an orphan. I recognize that I don't have to strive for your love out of religion. Highlight any earthly relationships that have tainted my view of you, God. Who has a perfect and good, pleasing will. Thank you that what you did on the cross was sufficient. That I have freedom and ability to walk full of love. Full of the Holy Spirit. And completely dependent on you. I don't want to keep any walls up that hinder me or anyone else from true intimacy with you, Father God. There is nothing that can separate me from you. I declare and decree that my past has no power over me. I choose to walk in the fullness and authority that is available to me. As a son or daughter, I receive the fullness of your love. You, Father, are my source of strength and power. Thank you for being such a good Father. In you, there is no lack. Teach me what it looks like to be a son. In son and daughter in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to leave you with one thing today before you all leave. The entire universe is standing tiptoe, waiting for the unveiling of the sons and daughters. So we are waiting for that. I believe that God is releasing love right now. If you would be in a position to receive him right now. God, I just release your love over these people, God. Push them further. Pull them more into your love, God. Because there's always more. There's always more, God. I release your love and your shalom peace. God, I thank you for what you've already been doing, pulling peace in this place, God. Lord.
You're my family. You're Amen. My family.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, I thank you that we're going to be people of your presence, God. That where we go, you go. And vice versa. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to continue to have, if those of you that need to leave, we're going to continue to have ministry up here if you need prayer for anything or would like to be empowered with more love from Father God.
Yeah. What I'm going to ask right now, if Amy, if you and Bobby can go ahead and, or the worship team can just play something light. I want to encourage you guys to stay till the Holy Spirit's done his work in you specifically. The team will be up here to pray for people, prophesy, minister to you as Holy Spirit leads. So don't be shy. The altar area will be completely open. Or you can stay where you are and just continue to receive from just the presence of what's stirring in the atmosphere. But just want to encourage you again. Let Holy Spirit finish doing what he's doing in you before you leave. Just let his love minister to you. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Just receive, and I bless you all in Jesus' name. It's Lord.